Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Eagle Mountain International Church and welcome to Faith Foundations. My name is Greg Stevens. I am pitch hitting for Pastor Terry. Before we came here live with you, we were talking a little bit with some of the people here about Victory-thon and what a week that was, right? It really was more than just Victory-thon. It was a revival. That's what it was. And so you didn't know I was going to do this. You have all your stuff on your lap. But you were telling me testimonies that have happened to you since. Stand up. Tell everybody who you are because they see the back of you all the time. This is the other side.
You recognize me back here. We are Don and Jill West from Wichita Falls. We sowed a seed during the Victory-thon. And I was telling Pastor Greg, it's been like popcorn. We are getting checks in the mail. Things are just happening all over the place. We leave to do on Wednesday morning to do a crusade in Alabama. We've had keyboards supplied to us. We've had funds. We have a fellow that's paid for our entire trip, a partner. Good. I mean, God is, woo!
Woo, yeah, I know, right? I know. It's been like popcorn. I like popcorn. I don't like the bags. I mean, I like it in the microwave. It's just, you can't watch it. It's my favorite thing is to watch it pop. I always try to guess which one's going to go first. It's just a little game I play to keep me interested. Yeah, little town, nothing to do. Thank you very much. All right, here we go. Ready, Father? We bless you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you for your word. Our faith, sir, is in that word because it will never let us down. Ever, ever, ever. We ask you to wash us in your word today. We'll never be the same. We'll go from glory to glory, even into your very own image. We give you praise for it, glory for it, in Jesus' name. And everybody's in agreement would say, amen, amen. Amen. All right, I've been talking to you about covenants a couple of weeks. Because if you do not understand the covenant that you live in and operate in, you'll get frustrated quickly. A lot of people are trying to drive a Chevy Corvette and take it to the Ford dealer for service. Come on now. And that's what the mistake that we get into if we're not careful. We drive this new covenant and we try to get service done in the old covenant. Okay, really quiet on that one. You got it though, right? But that's exactly it. And I made a comment that startled a few people, and I want to thank you for all of your comments. We've gotten so many comments and testimonies and emails and all. When I said you can't be married to Jesus and date Moses, you know, it shocked a few folks. But it's just the truth. You're either the bride or you're not. And I went over the 9 different covenants that there are. Started in the covenant of Eden, went to Adam. From Adam went to Noah. From Noah was Abraham. And Abraham is an everlasting covenant. We're part of that Abrahamic covenant now. From Abraham, so you better understand Abraham. I'll just say this. People that operated in Jesus' day, which he was operating under the law was in effect. If you responded to him with the faith of the Abraham covenant, you were healed. If you responded to him from the law, he would give you a law answer every single time. So after Abraham became Moses' covenant, Mosaic law. After that, there was another one amended to it, and that one was the land covenant to Moses, to that second generation in the desert. After that came David. After David came us, the new covenant. That's all you've ever known. And after us is one more. It's the everlasting covenant. You're already partially in that because you are seated with him in heavenly places spiritually. You're not there physically yet, but you already have a down payment of it by the Holy Ghost. And so there were some other covenants, and I won't even go into them today. There was a salt covenant, and there was a shoe covenant, and there was a thigh covenant. I know it sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But they were all different covenants in the ancient world, and you'll find all 3 of them in Scripture. Salt covenant is where we get the word salary. You're not worth your salt here. That guy is worth, come on. And so I would take a little bit of salt. Salt is a preservative. Jesus even pronounces the salt covenant over us when he says, you are the salt of the earth. Right? And so I would have a bag of salt. Some Roman soldiers were paid in salt, partially in salt. I would take a little bit of the salt in my bag and drop it in your bag, and you would take some of the salt in your bag and drop it in my bag, and we can never separate them.
Yeah, that's cool.
See what I mean? Once you put salt on a steak, you can't get it out. It becomes part of it. Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Once you pour salt on those scrambled eggs, they're there. It's there. You can't get it out. Once we became the salt of the earth with him, you can't ever get it out. I'm telling you guys. Next was the shoe covenant, and that's a really strange one. But you can find it in the story of Ruth and Boaz. It goes also to wherever your foot treads. Come on. The sole of your foot. And it's part of the shoe covenant about a kinsman redeemer. It's all talking about our redeemer in Christ Jesus. The next one was a thigh covenant. Remember the servant of Moses puts his hand under, or Moses of Abraham puts his hand under his thigh and swears that he would find a bride, not here, but back there with his own people, not from Canaan. Remember this?
Yes, sir.
And that's kind of a strange one. Well, it's not to be crude. It is a little crude. Roman soldiers, it's where we get the word testify from, and it comes from the male genital parts. That's where that word comes from. And it literally meant to touch your genital parts and swear. And what you're doing is you're swearing by your future seed. And so that makes sense to Abraham. Abraham and his seed. Come on, guys. And you are, Galatians tells us, the seed of Abraham. So all of these covenants, I mean, once you understand the covenants, then there's covenant names, redemptive names, and all the different names of the covenant. And God's revealing something when he reveals his name over and over and over. I'll give you an example very quickly. There's two different kinds of names of God. Now, we know Jehovah Jireh. What's another one? Jehovah Rapha. What's another one? El Shaddai. Jehovah Nisi. The El names, the El part, Elohim, plural, three in one. The Elohim tends to be the creative side of our Father. It's the creative nature. So you'll see a lot in the book of Genesis, it's the El names being used. And then the later names, the Yah names or the Jehovah names, are the redemptive side. And so you can see the creative side and the redemptive side. Then there's times where they mix together and it's the creative redemptive side. You see that at the burning bush. I will be what I will be. If you need me to be finances, I'll be finances. If you need me to be healing, I'll be healing. If you need me to be food for you, I'll be food for you. If you need me to be light for you, I'll be light for you. I'll be whatever I need to be for the moment that you're in. That's what he told him. I will be what I will be. That's good stuff. So you see this over to my favorite, one of my favorite redemptive names is Emmanuel, God with us. Now see, that goes to that creative name again, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Because he created him in the womb of Mary. There's always a shedding of blood in covenant. This is why marriage, the way it was supposed to be done, is so important. Because when the couple comes together, they're shedding of blood. Virgin. Stay with me now. But Jesus came from the inside out. See, there was only the shedding of blood when he was born.
Yes.
I'll let you just stew on that for a second. So our covenant is a covenant. Our covenant, the new covenant, is a covenant of grace depending on faith rather than works. Okay? 66 books in your Bible, penned by over 40 authors over thousands of years with integrated design. That's God. Every detail intricately tied to everything else. And it's imperative for us to understand each part, its relationship to the entirety. The Abrahamic covenant is unchangeable. And all the other covenants are foundational. It's the foundation that they all rest upon. That's how they were saved. That's how Abraham was saved. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him, future tense, as righteous. You believed God. You became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's good stuff. So the covenant we live in is irrevocable. but it's not unconditional. Hear what I just said to you?
Yes.
It's irrevocable, but it's not unconditional, meaning you have to accept it.
Yes.
You have to become a partner in it. Ephesians chapter 2. Said all of that to get into where we're headed today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the blood covenant, which is in part of all the covenants as a blood covenant. We are required to receive what's been freely given. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. My God, somebody should shout about that. And listen to this. And raised us up together. You were resurrected with him. And made us to sit together in heavenly places. There's the next covenant right there. The everlasting covenant. You're already part of it. My God. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches. See that? The ages to come. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Here he says it again in verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. They always go together. You can't be a faith person and not be a grace person. You can't be a grace person and not be a faith person. They go together. Let me just nail that thing shut. Where'd I stop? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should walk in our covenant.
Amen.
That's why I said you can't be married to Jesus and date Mo.
Amen.
It won't work. It'll frustrate you. I realized something, that Jesus' entire ministry was during the covenant of Moses, but every time somebody would come to him in the covenant of Abraham in faith, they got their need met. Rich young ruler, good master, I have done X, Y, Z, A, B, and C, R, S, and T, right? I've done all of these things. And Jesus said, true. Now go do this. The law will always still, he approached him by what he had done. Rather than who he is. But I see other people approaching Jesus by who he is. Son of David, have mercy on me. That's covenant talk. See, he's using covenant talk, but he's using covenant of Moses talk. I have done this because covenant of Moses says, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. New covenant language is I will. Not you, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. Let me just go to Genesis chapter 12 real quick. Genesis chapter 12, because I want to show you the I wills. And it started in the covenant of Abraham. The I wills is not just new covenant because it's covenant of Abraham. We've been grafted into it according to Galatians 3. Everyone that hangs on the tree, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile. You've been grafted into the blessing of Abraham. And here we go with God speaking to him. And I will make you a great nation. You see it? Look at this. Who's going to do that? I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And make your name great. Now he has to change the man's name to a covenant name. Oh God. And you shall be a blessing. Look at this. Here it is again. I feel like the weatherman up here. I will bless those who bless you. Now look at this, look at this, look at this. I will curse him, not them. Him. It's almost like the Lord knew nobody's going to be stupid enough to do this. Not a lot of people. Just, I will curse him who curses you. There's only one person. There's only one being, created being, that brought the curse into the earth. Do you understand? Now, here's the deal. It may come as a surprise to you, but Abraham was a Gentile when this covenant word was being spoken to him. He's not Jewish yet. This is how you can be grafted into this thing. My Look at that. There's only one person that brought the curse. His name is Lucifer. Now, if you're going to side with him, you're going to be against Israel. And you're going to be against the nation. My God. I could jump off right there and go for a while, but I'm not going to. And in you, listen to this, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What am I hearing? Blessing, 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 and I'm doing it, and I will do it, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to do this. And I will do this, and I'm going to bless you. That's a new covenant. Go read Hebrews sometime. Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. You'll see it, the new covenant. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I will engrave the law upon their hearts. Come on. I will do this. I will do that. It's new covenant. That's a new covenant. Don't shout me down because I'm doing well. From all of these I wills flow God's entire plan for mankind, including you and me. You can see it. All the covenants are built on this one. Item 5 and 6 right there. I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse him that curses you. They're the basis of the sheep goat judgment that Jesus is going to talk about in Matthew chapter 25, which closes out our age of Gentiles. I will. Matter of fact, let's just take a break right here. Let me play a clip from you from Brother Copeland talking about that very thing. I will. Watch this.
I want you to notice what he said. I swear to you, by myself, I can't swear there's not anybody any bigger than me. So I swear by myself that I keep the words of this covenant between you and me. I swear it to you. If I lie to you one time, if I fail to keep this covenant, I will destroy myself. Wow. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, quickly to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Oh, praise God. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to notice the 17th. Through the 19th verses. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or proved, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at the 19th verse. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He'd already seen it. I think he was a little bit disappointed. He fully intended to see God. He intended to plunge that knife into that boy. He intended to burn him as a sacrifice, and he intended to see God raise him up out of those ashes.
Now, why didn't God let him finish that? Because you got to go back in Genesis, a little bit before that, Genesis 15 is where the covenant is cut. And Abraham prepares the pieces of the meat out there, right? All of the different pieces, from the doves all the way down. And God wouldn't let him participate. But now God's asking him to participate. He's excited about going. He's going to get to participate. But God stopped him and wouldn't let him participate. Abraham is sowing his dream. He's sowing his firstborn of promise, where the seed of promise will come from. Going to come from Isaac. And he's sowing him. Now God will provide himself. Now it's up to God to come back and say, okay, I'm not going to let you do that because it can't be Isaac. Isaac has the flaw in him. I've got to have one that doesn't have the flaw of Adam in him. But he had committed God to that. Oh, Jesus. And he can't let him do it. Okay, let me just show you this. God performs a solemn ritual in Genesis 15, and he puts Abraham into a deep sleep, and he is seen passing through the pieces of the cut up animals. Remember that? The key point is God is making that covenant, and it's unilateral. There's no commitment required of Abraham. It was entirely by grace. Abraham's performance is not required. Now, Abraham goes to this level ready to sow Isaac, but he had to stop him. Can't let you go through with that because I'm going to present myself. I made the covenant. I'm going to do it. And Abraham saw it by faith. All right? We've been saved through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13 and verse 20 says this, 20 and 21. I'll read it real quick. It says, may the God of peace, who the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Remember a ram caught in the thicket? Equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the blood covenant. It was ratified by Jesus. It was finished. Abraham's covenant was ratified right then, sealed in blood right then. Now, let me show you this. Let me show you an example of blood covenant in human terms. Maybe we can understand it better, show you where we are. All right, take the next few minutes. Let's do this. You find it in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18, beginning with verse 1. Listen to this. You ready? New King James says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Took who? David. David's now going to live here. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe. Now listen to this. Listen, think of in all of this that I'm going to share with you now, I want you to think of the prodigal son story in the back of your mind as you listen to this. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword. You understand that Jonathan is the head of all of the armies of Israel? And his bow and his belt. He gives him everything. David is a shepherd boy, and a lot of people think just got lucky with that whole Goliath thing. Come on. And he can give nothing back. That's like us, guys. David and Jonathan will cut a covenant with each other because God brought them together. They recognized it. So they mingled their blood, joining their lives together. So like Abraham with God, David had more to gain from this covenant than Jonathan. They were not in this covenant to take, but to give. David was a shepherd. Jonathan is the son of the king. Okay? David had a few possessions to give. Here, you can have my slingshot. Thank you for the sword. It's very nice. Right? It's not the same thing, is it? No, I give you a Daisy BB gun and you give me a 30-06. That's not the same thing, but that's the kind of exchange that happened. That's what Jesus did. He overpaid. So it represented his authority of the kingdom. So it was with the armor, Jonathan would be David's protection. And by the sword and the bow, Jonathan would be David's defender. And by the belt, that means all the children that comes from their loins will be in this covenant. Come on, guys. They're more than just friends. So their friendship is a type of the day when Jesus will go to the cross. He's going to enter into a covenant with us. And just like David and Jonathan were separated, so we are physically separated from Jesus in the flesh. So after David takes the throne, here's what happens. He begins to look for the heirs of Saul. Is Saul and Jonathan are died? Is there anyone left of the household of Saul and Jonathan that I could be a blessing to them? And the blood covenant with Jonathan was demanding that he find out if there's anyone left in that family. So let me read this to you. David says, is there still anyone? This is 2 Samuel 9. David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Hear that? For Jonathan's sake. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness, the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there's still a son of Jonathan, listen to this, who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? This guy says to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amaliel in Lodabar, right? From Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of that guy, the son of that guy, from Lodabar. Just don't have the time. Now, the kid's name is Mephibosheth, okay? Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, hear that? Had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. My God, think of the prodigal and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, all the land. Get all your stuff back.
Yeah, amen.
And you shall, listen to this, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. This kind of reminds me when David writes, the Lord has prepared a table for me in the... So listen to this, here's what happens. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table. And it still says, and he was lame in both his feet. Now we got, he's lame in both of his feet at the beginning of that story. And we got lame at both of his feet at the end of that story. My God, somebody lay hands on that kid, right? That's what we're thinking, right? No. There's a reason for that. He's included in the blood covenant of his father and David. Even though he never knew it, he was included in it. He grew up, this kid grew up hating David, afraid of David. He believed all the reports from his grandfather that David stole the kingdom, that he had Jonathan killed. He'd believed a lie. So many of us people, I'm telling you something, you've believed a lie. You've been born again into a brand new covenant.
Yes.
And you've believed a lie of an old covenant.
Wow. Come on.
That was supposed to be going away. And you wonder why God's not blessing you like he just been blessing them. Well, I sowed a victory thorn. Oh my. You get over into this new covenant way of doing things and thinking and talking. I'll be quiet now. I'll just keep going. Because I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to convict you to pull you up. So listen to this. How did he get lame? Here's how he got lame. His guardian grabbed him and ran for their lives when Saul and Jonathan died. And while they were running, Mephibosheth was dropped. And he was crippled in his feet from that time on. He was raised in poverty among the Arabs and grew up his whole life as the only surviving heir to the throne, thinking David had stolen it from him. All his life, he'd been told how bad the king is, how bad this is, how bad this is. Now, his name, Mephibosheth, means a shameful thing. That's what his name means. All right? It's a shameful thing after he's been dropped during his fear run, right? And since that time, he's been living in Lodabar. What's that mean? That the name of that place means a dry place. So it's shameful and dry. And he's in the house of Machir. I gave you that guy's name a while ago. It means a salesman. That's what his name means. In other words, all these years, whoever it was that he's been staying with has been selling him a bill of goods. That your daddy was ripped off by the guy who's sitting on the throne. That he didn't win the election. Oh, man, never mind. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. The reason you live in this dump, in this desert place, away from your people, is because of the king, King David, and he doesn't even realize David's looking for him. Think of the prodigal son story again with Jesus. He's living in ignorance, not knowing the covenant that had been drawn up between his father and David. One day, he falls and his feet become lame, and all this time, the devil's been telling him, and you and I, one day we fell, we became lame, and the devil's been telling you God did that to you. God put you in this position. God's trying to teach you something. See, the enemy never changes. And the covenant that you and I enjoy now was drawn up long before we ever fell and had our feet crippled. Come on, I'm showing you how we were. See, we fell in Adam. We were raised in Jesus. By one man's offense, sin entered this world, and we all then had crippled feet. But it wasn't us that did it. What we don't know is there was a covenant made long before you ever fell. It's just like when we came to Jesus. We didn't have anything to offer him. David had nothing to offer him. And it says in the scripture that all of our righteousness is but filthy rags to him, right? You can't be righteous enough. The only way you can be righteous enough is to be in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ, then you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not on credit. You are. Right? David bringing into Mephibosheth and saying to him, I'm going to restore everything that your father lost, is similar to our being given everything Adam lost. We fell. Our feet became lame. From that time on, Satan, the great salesman, has told us a bill of goods and sold it to us, and we bought it. You have God to blame for your situation. God did this to you. God sent that storm. God judged New Orleans. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Sorry, I tilted somebody. That was a sacred cow moment, and I didn't warn you. I didn't warn them I was going to tip the cow right there. Listen, I love you, but I got to tell you something. Anytime God judges a place, he's good at it. Yes. It's thorough. Yes. The five cities of the plain aren't there.
Right.
That's right.
Seriously. Do you want another example? Jesus curses three cities because they didn't recognize the day of his visitation. You know them? You know what they are? Capernaum, Chorazim, Bethsaida. Those three cities aren't there today. Yeah. Ruins of them are there. They're not there. If he curses, I'm telling you what, if God don't curse San Francisco, he's going to have to apologize to Jesus. I can tell you that right now. He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He don't curse them right now. No, you don't know what spirit you're of. That's what Jesus told Peter. He'd have to apologize to Jesus if he did that. Now listen, you can, as a city or as a state or a group of people, get out from under the protection of God and open yourself up to things. But when he curses something, oh, listen to me. He cursed Jesus. Jesus was cursed on the tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, never mind. I didn't even warn you that was coming. I didn't warn you. I hope you didn't spill your coffee. David, listen to this. When Mephibosheth has bowed himself down, and he says this, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am? That's what he says. King calls Ziba, Saul's servant. In other words, he totally ignores what Mephibosheth said. There is nothing wrong with recognizing the sight of God, you're nothing. You get that in the position you were in before you became him. But if you go around confessing that before God, that you're a worm in the dust and undeserving and gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If you go around doing all that stuff all the time, he's going to ignore you. I mean, that's not covenant talk. It's like, I'm not listening to that. I cannot agree with that. I just need God to agree with me. And then quit talking that stuff. He can't agree with you. He will turn his ears from that. You may have nothing before you came to Jesus, but the moment you walked through the front door of his kingdom, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We don't know what we shall be, but we know this. When we see him, we shall be like him. Yes. Come on now. You may not have a whole lot when you came in, but you got a whole lot right now. Yeah. And you just need to know how to operate in it and walk in that covenant. And if you'll walk in, how does Brother Copeland do what he does? He walks in his covenant. Yes. And he contacts and touches and walks in and speaks and preaches the blessing. Woo, God. David saw Mephibosheth through the eyes of the covenant that he made with Jonathan. Before he was killed, he made this covenant. David looked on Mephibosheth and saw Jonathan.
Yes.
I believe he reached down. It says, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. He reached down to lift him up. That's a picture of the Good Samaritan. So you got to realize Jesus came down so that I could come up. David reaches down to grab that boy up, and I don't doubt that he might not have seen a scar on him and went, my dad had a scar just like that.
Yeah.
My God. There's coming a day when you and I will see some nail prints in a man's hand and some nail prints in a man's feet and realize those are covenant scars. That body piercing saved me. You got excited about that one, didn't you? He looks at Mephibosheth and saw Jonathan. What Jonathan had poured out in love to David, David got to pour out on his son, on Jonathan's son. Why would David do that? Why would David treat a lame man with such honor and give him back everything that his grandfather had? Why would David do that? Makes no sense. David has sons of his own. When Mephibosheth laid on the floor, he reaches down, he picks him up, he sees that scar, and he begins to walk in the blessing. In 2 Samuel 21:7, it says this, but the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul, because of the Lord's covenant between David and Jonathan, because of the oath, because of that covenant. So it is with our covenant, guys. We receive God's righteousness because not of our worth, but because of the covenant made long ago before we were ever born. We were crippled in our feet from a fall. It was the fall of Adam. And God overlooked it when he came down and bowed, and we bowed down before him in total submission to Jesus. He called us by name, just like David called this boy by name. And God has given us an inheritance to eat at his table every single day. Even though our feet... Listen to this now. In the flesh, I'm talking about your flesh now, not your spirit man. Your spirit man's new. But even in your flesh man, your feet may still be crippled. Let me ask you a question. When you're seated at a table, can you see people's feet? No, I'm just letting that sink in. So when this kid, with all the other sons and daughters of David, would sit at the table, he looked just like everybody else. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. I got to do me a little dance. I got to do me a little month-to-month-to-month dance or something right there. My God. Woo! God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. He confirmed it by an oath in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Our covenant, guys, can never be broken because it was drawn up by two sides that will never change their mind or break the covenant. I'm going to show you this. Let me show you a video here from Brother Copeland, a second one, about the lamb, and then we'll come back and wrap this up. Watch this.
We are redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, see the word surely? This is an absolute surety. Surely, blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured and obtained the promise, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath, a blood sworn oath. Do you see what God did? He swore in the blood of that ram. You see it? He swore in the blood of that ram. And he said, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife or argument. Once there is a covenant confirming, and we're talking about a blood oath here, you understand? Then the argument about the thing is over. God settled that forever. He can't break this thing. I don't care if it is in the blood of an animal. He swore. I'm very eagerly doing my best to get this over to you. The gravity of it. Listen, this is God. He doesn't just go around swearing stuff to people. What's he doing anyway? The very moment that Adam did what he did, God set out to get him back. He set out to get Jesus into this earth, and glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the reason he went to such length to get it across to those people that I have made a way for you to give them under this curse. Then his lamb destroyed it. Whew, glory to God.
There you go. Oh, that's shouting ground, isn't it? See, Abraham's lamb would not have been able to destroy the curse, but God's lamb did. No, see, you say amen to that, but God's lamb destroyed the curse. No. You don't get it. God's lamb destroyed the curse because he became the curse. Then why do you keep confessing curses over yourself? I'm under a blood curse because you're my Uncle Ed, his granddad. No, you're not. You just called it a blood curse, a generational curse. No, you're not. You're in a new blood, a new generation. We joined an unchangeable covenant. We did it by faith. We are one with God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't tell where the Father stops and Jesus begins, or where the Father stops and the Holy Spirit begins, or where Jesus ends and the Holy Spirit begins. You can't tell it. We're truly united as one. And besides, how do I unmingle blood? Once the blood's mingled, how do I do it separate? Okay, now that little drop there, that's his, and this drop, you can't do it. And once I've been washed in the blood, my God, you can't do it. You can't separate me from these things. That he writes down, who can separate me? From the love, blood is liquid love, man. Liquid love poured out on me. The first mention of Mephibosheth is those lame feet. Last mention of Mephibosheth is lame feet. Why is that? It's not a type of divine healing. Here's what it is. It simply means this. His walk did not get him into the castle. His walk did not keep him in the castle. He was brought into the castle because of the covenant that was drawn up before he was ever born. You were brought into the kingdom of God because of a covenant, not because of your walk. And you don't stay in the covenant because of your walk. You stay in the covenant because of the covenant. My God, my God, my God, you're seated with him because of the covenant. Woo, glory to God. You know, he stumbled at times. That's okay. We've stumbled at times. And we got 1 John 1:9.
Yes, sir.
To cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In John, it says that the Holy Spirit will come. And in the King James, it says to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. I was talking to Rick Renner during Victorython. We were talking about that verse, and he says it's a bad translation because you can use, instead of convict, you can use convince. He will come to convince the world of righteousness. What does he mean by that? He's convincing you. You're righteous. Glory to God. That's what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to convince you. You are righteous. I'm trying to convince you you're in the new covenant. I'm trying to convince you you have the everlasting covenant already offered to you now. I'm trying to convince you you're in the blessing now. You're not trying to get the blessing. You're not trying to get into the blessing. You are the blessing. The blessing's all over you. You live in, you breathe, you swim the blessing. You talk the blessing. You walk the blessing because you are blessed. Jesus, about to get happy in this. I was teaching good and something got in my shoes besides my feet. I don't know how you're sitting there. I'm about to run in this place. Jesus offered the completed covenant to you and I. He said, get in on this, guys. And if you blow it, you can't break it. If you miss it, you can't break it. You're in it. Why? You're in it because you got good feet now. Everywhere you step, it's anointed. Everywhere you walk, the blessing shows up. Everywhere you talk.
Hallelujah.
That's good news. That's the good news. I'm not stumbling around in the dark anymore. I'm walking into the courts. I'm walking into the King's palace. I boldly go into the throne of grace on my own two feet because of a blood covenant that was ratified long before you and I ever were on the planet. You don't have to stay home because of your feet. You can get in on this thing. You can walk in this. You can talk in this. You can live in this. You can breathe in this. Because that's what was given to you. All of these covenants are built one upon another to take you to the everlasting covenant. And he gave you a promise. Each covenant had not only a cutting of covenant, a covenant had a seal. It was sealed with a rainbow for Noah. Yeah. I'll never destroy the earth again like that.
Yes,
right? We still see rainbows. Anybody seen a rainbow lately? You still see them. I'm not talking about on a flag. I'm talking about in the sky.
Yeah.
Right? We see rainbows. It's still a seal of that covenant reminding us. I don't care how bad that thunderstorm is. I'm not going to destroy the earth again like that. Right? You and I have a seal of our covenant. You know what they are? There's two of them. The Holy Spirit dwelling within you is the seal or the promise of your covenant. How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit in this room? Well, how do you know? Well, how do you know? See, the fact that the Holy Spirit is in me and I can pray in the Spirit shows me that my spiritual house has been cleansed. It's a seal that I'm in the covenant. It's a promise of where I'm going to be. Pray in the Spirit for a second. Come on, do it right there where you're at. If you've never been filled with the Holy, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit right now. You already have him if you're born again. Just release him to pray through you. Come on, let me hear you. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. What are you doing? What are you doing right now? What are you doing right now? What are you doing right now? That's your covenant. That's the promise of your covenant. Okay, stop. Stop. Do you understand what you just did? You operated in the sealing of your covenant in the spirit realm. the next one will be a glorified body. You ain't got that yet. I mean, you might look good, might have a gun show happening up here, but it's not your glorified body. That's coming in that next covenant. So the Holy Spirit given to you now is a down payment showing you this is where you're going to be. You're already there positionally because you're seated at the table with him in heavenly places. Even with your old lame feet, you're seated with him right now because you don't have a glorified body. Someday you'll have a glorified body sitting at that table. Today you don't have that, but you're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Guys, this is your covenant and you need to walk in it, but you're never going to walk in it effectively if you're always trying to date Moses and be married to Jesus. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of this? Did you get anything out of this? All right. Pastor George is coming up in just a moment. Get yourself ready. We're going to have church. See you.